call came in about 2 o'clock. Kind of walk us through what you found when you got out there.
Okay, about 2 o'clock, we got a call to the 4500 block of Carter Creek Parkway. We're at the Old Oaks Townhomes on Old Oaks, and we're at the Oakwood Gardens Townhomes on Carter Creek. That's where the original call came in, and we had about 8 units, and that's an approximation because I haven't been able to get up and actually count the number of units involved. But we had anywhere from 8 to 10 units involved in heavy fire when the first units arrived on the scene. Directly behind the Oakwood Garden townhomes are the Old Oaks townhomes. And we had impingement from the Old Oaks, from the garden, Oakwood Gardens to the Old Oaks townhomes. So we had 2 townhomes behind the original building on Carter Creek Parkway that caught fire. And so we had two alarm fires going on simultaneously. And, of course, we pulled multiple units from both Bryan and College Station, and we also have multiple units from Brazos County Precinct Volunteer Fire Departments that are helping to staff additional units within our cities right now.
This seems like the biggest fire probably that you guys have worked since the one at Courts in downtown, but how does this one compare? I mean the proximity and this being residential, this sounds a little more intense.
It is. We had several units, of course, that were occupied. We had some of the occupants that were actually home, that they evacuated the structures, removed some pets and such. We also had tenants that were showing up in the initial stages of the fire and, of course, concerned about their pets also. But our number one priority, of course, was life safety. We got everyone in a safe area. We made sure everyone was accounted for. We were able to go in and rescue some dogs and some cats, but there were numerous other pets. Cats, birds, turtles, and dogs that are still missing. And like I said, we had heavy fire involvement, and with the extreme temperatures, it was very, very difficult on our firefighters.
Mentioning the weather, that seems like that would come into play pretty seriously. How did the fire crews hold up in terms of hydration, things like that?
They did well. We had 2 firefighters who were transported to the hospital with heat-related, injuries and, just exhausted. We have multiple firefighters that are sitting out underneath trees right now with IV drips. Everybody's getting IV fluids put in them and trying to replenish their fluids and get ready to go. We've got multiple units on the scene still. We're rotating people out as quickly as possible. In the beginning stages of the fire, the intense moments as the fire was increasing, well, of course, we went defensive. The fire got up into the roof of the buildings in the front and also consumed both buildings in the back, burnt from top to bottom. And it was very intense, and the firefighters, by the time they even got their heavy gear on and got ready to go and start working, they were really only good for about 10 to 15 minutes tops, and then they were just exhausted. And, of course, they're, just peeling off their heavy gear. They wear about 30 pounds of protective clothing. That's just their boots and their coats and their pants and their helmets. And then they have about another 25 to 30 pounds in the breathing apparatus that they wear. So they're wearing about 50 pounds total. And in these extreme temperatures, it's like wearing an oven mitt. And the temperatures inside the structure can get anywhere from 800 to 1,000 degrees up in the upper portions of the buildings and such. And it's just, it's extreme. It's like it zaps your energy as soon as you get in and start doing anything physical. It's about time to turn around and get out of that gear and start cooling yourself down.
In terms of the units themselves, the apartment units, do you have an estimate right now about how many units have been lost and building damage, things of that nature?
I'm looking at what I can't tell whether it's 8 units or 10 units in 2 buildings of the Oakwood Gardens that look like there's heavy fire damage. There's gaping holes in the majority of the roofs and such. A tremendous amount of water damage. We were using our big stream nozzles that pump anywhere from 1,000 to 3,000 gallons per minute total on both fires simultaneously. So there's a tremendous amount of water, that was used to put the fire out. And in the back 2 townhomes at the Oakwood townhomes, they looked like they were completely gutted also from fire and, of course, a tremendous amount of heat, smoke, and water damage. So anywhere from 6 to 10 units total looked like, that they were, I would say, completely destroyed by the fire.
At what stage are you, would you say, right now as far as getting things under control and hot spots, things of that nature?
We're in the overhaul stage, which means the fire is under control. It's not completely extinguished. There are still hot spots inside of the buildings, and we're rotating crews in and out, you know, with plenty of rest in between, and they're just going through and digging through the hot spots, the embers that are still smoldering and smoking, and they'll be here for several more hours doing that to ensure that the fire is completely extinguished. Of course, we still have some concerned occupants out here that are concerned about their pets, and we're trying to, you know, be as gentle as possible when we go in and look for their pets and those kinds of things. But we're going to be here for several hours just overhauling and trying to get things cleaned up and working with the management to get the place secured. At some point this evening, we'll probably allow some of the tenants to go into some of the structures where they're able to look for anything that might be salvageable. And, you know, that's a high on the mic. We're not sure that there's anything salvageable in any of these structures, but we'll at least give them an opportunity to check out their buildings. And then from there, we'll try to secure the buildings with the management tonight to keep other folks from going through there and just looking.
I know it's early, but any idea or any thoughts on what the cause might be?
At this time, no. We did talk to one occupant. I think she indicated that she did come home for lunch around 1 o'clock. But as far as, you know, what she did she cook, did she turn on any appliances, those kinds of things, we haven't been able to get that information yet. But, you know, anything is possible at this time. But we do know that we had at least one of the occupants that did return home for lunch, and you know, that was around 1 o'clock and then went back to work, and then the fire came in right at 2 o'clock. But again, we're not assuming anything at this point. We'll be talking to multiple occupants. Of course, the fire investigators are here and will be here throughout most of the evening, and as soon as they can, they'll get in and begin their preliminary investigation. And what that means is they'll go in, and if there's gas service to the buildings, they'll start looking at gas appliances and those kinds of things. They'll look at all the electrical appliances. And, you know, there is a way to look at the appliances. If the appliances are still intact, they can check to see whether the appliances were in the on position or the off position when the fire occurred and those kinds of things. So they have a very methodical process that they go through to check things out at the scene.
All right, Chief, anything else?
No, like I said, we were very thankful, number one, that you know, we didn't have any serious injuries. Like I said, we had two firefighters who were transported. And we're also very appreciative of the help from not only the city of College Station with our automatic aid program. We respond simultaneously all the time. But the volunteer responders from Brazos County that took time from their day to come in to assist us. They're backfilling in our cities right now to ensure that we have adequate EMS and fire protection in both Bryan and College Station.
I was listening to it on the radio traffic. It is a pretty remarkable to listen to how quickly those guys, especially the volunteers, are able to break free of wherever they happen to be and get to be able to relieve your stations or staff your stations and things of that nature.
That's 100% correct. You know, we really are appreciative. You know, we have a lot of our folks that live in the rural areas, a lot of the folks that work for Bryan and College Station that volunteer in the county precincts, but there are also a lot of other people that are not affiliated with our two departments that are out there that you know, they come at a moment's notice and drop everything and come out and help out. Oh, man, we just had a cat rescue. We just had a cat removed from the building and returned to one of its occupants. So that's a good thing.
A little bit of a ray of sunshine in all of
this. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, they're real excited. They were very worried about the cat, and the cat apparently made it through and everything, and they just got it out.
Always nice to have a happy ending somewhat. So
there you go.
Chief, thanks for your time this afternoon. Be careful out there.
All righty. Thank you very much.
All righty.